Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. You can find the podcast for this show on Apple Podcasts and on Google Play Music. Just look up Tasting Room Radio or The Tasting Room. Before I tell you about this week's show, just a reminder that upcoming, we are heading back to the Okanagan to visit Fairview Cellars, Desert Hills, Roche Winery and the Naramata Bench, Fitzpatrick Vineyards. We'll visit Joe Luckhurst and the Canadian Winery of the Year, Road 13, and also talk to and taste at Township 7. The success of Chef Andre Durbach. He and his wife Sian have opened a smashing Italian restaurant in Courtney Comox called Il Falcone. We will talk and taste with winemaker Margaret Leonardi from Adorado Wines from Mendocino, California. We have a Merlot special coming up as well for you Merlot people. All right, I am a cider fan. There's a lot more people like me out there. I love BC cider. I love cider from all over the world, frankly. I got to go to the closing of the BC Cider Festival. It was held at the Pipe Shop in North Vancouver, which used to be part of the shipyards. I have a connection with that room. On this show, we're going to talk to Sean Pizzo, the organizer. We'll also talk to and taste Naramata Bench Cider, BC Tree Fruits, Left Field Cider, Miranda Halliday from Naramata Cider Company, Ward Cider, Raven's Moon, Nomad Cider, Salt Spring Wild, Howling Moon, Twisted Hills, Cedar Cider, Sea Cider, Windfall, Dominion, and the boys from Second Page. It's the Cider All-Stars all in one room. If you've only ever had cider that your parents drank, or you were a parent, man, has it ever changed. It's really, really, really good. You can find the complete rundown for the show on our website, tastingroomradio.com. The Cider Festival is next. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Okanagan Crush Pad Winery. New from Okanagan Crush Pad Winery, free-form wines made from organic grapes, native yeasts, free of additives. Visit OkanaganCrushPad.com to order online. Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. I am a year late with this show because last year I completely missed the first ever BC Cider Festival, but I was determined not to let it go by again. And, surprisingly, it was held at the foot of Lonsdale in North Vancouver in a building called the Pipe Shop, where my father worked during World War II. So I had an amazing amount of feelings going into that room. It starts very quietly because the cider makers are setting up, but then when they open the doors, well, you'll know. I really like cider, and I'm going to really appreciate what's happening in British Columbia and Western Canada. We're making great cider here. It hasn't had near the impact of craft beer, but it's getting there. So here, for you, a year late and a dollar short, here is our coverage of the second annual BC Cider Festival. Cheers. Sean Pizzo, literally going to be part of the narration of this special, the second annual BC Cider Festival, because he's one of the organizers. Did you give your life up to cider at some point?
At a certain point, yes. So about 5 years ago, I was working in the tech industry doing completely other things. And through one of our business partners and friends, went to Spain. I went to the Basque region where he was living and working. And he took us to the cider houses there, very old world cider, and sort of fell in love with it. And then from there, it's kind of been a whirlwind of cider since then.
So this is year two. How many cideries did you have last year?
So last year, I believe we had in about 20 to 25. Okay. And this year, we're about 35 cideries. And, you know, this isn't everybody. Some people weren't able to make it. And we know, some new cideries that are even not quite ready to attend yet. So yeah. Next year, we're expecting a lot more.
But what's happened to the cider business?
It's been exploding. The cider industry's growth has been like a runaway train. You know, I think we've seen what happened in the craft beer industry. Yeah. Craft cider is the same thing's happened to craft cider just a couple years later. You know, the craft beer industry kind of really paved the way for the market, for consumers really looking for craft, interesting products. And cider's the next thing that people are getting excited about.
I see people lining up to come in. Now, who are the fans of cider? Is it male, female, 50? What is it?
It's a complete spectrum mix. There are, sometimes some assumptions about what the average cider drinker is, but having now done this for a few years and having run a pop-up cider bar, all our expectations have been blown out of the water. It crosses male, female, age demographics are all over the place. A lot of new young cider drinkers are coming into it. You know, people who are looking for gluten-free products, it's a great avenue to go down. Also people who are looking for just a craft beer alternative. You know, beer can be heavy. You know, if you go drink beer all day, it can be...
It can be 13%.
It can be.
And many of these are 5, 6, 7, 8.
Exactly. And at the same, on the other side of that, we are starting to get a lot of wine drinkers coming as well because the alcohol is a bit lower. And it's something that I can share a bottle with some friends over dinner and still be fine to drive and all the things that go with that.
And how difficult is the judging?
So the judging this year, we excused ourselves as judges, being the organizers. Judging was difficult based on the scale of it. We, across five categories, we had 102 submissions, which exceeded our expectations. We were blown away by the amount of submissions, and we actually limited the submissions to one cidery, two ciders per category only. And if we had relaxed that, we probably would have doubled the amount of ciders.
Taste, texture, what are you judging on?
So we're taste, texture, aroma, just an overall profile, kind of the finish, very similar to wine or beer judging. It's kind of the overall presentation of that cider in that category. So we've got dry, semi-dry, fruit ciders. Then we have a botanical category, which includes things like hops, spices, and then we've got a specialty category. So the specialty category is kind of everything else. It's the catch-all one.
You're going to announce during the afternoon who won what.
Yes.
Right? Can we get that list and put it on our website so we can let people know who won what?
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be, we'll send that out to you and all kinds of other press and have it posted on our website. Like I said, this is the first annual awards program for us, and it's the first dedicated cider awards in the province. And I think that's going to be a big step for the industry to kind of show that we are in the quality and the craftsmanship and just the sheer amount of selection is now we're at that level of beer and wine.
Do you have a best of show?
We do have a best of show. So today during the event, people will be able to submit ballots for their favorite cider and show. Okay. And we will be awarding a best in show.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Sean Pichot, the second annual BC Cider Festival. He's one of the organizers.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
How happy am I to be at the BC Cider Festival, the entire festival that I missed last year because I was off doing something else? And so Nadine Harrison is going to get me caught up here because this is year two. And she's here as the assistant winemaker at BC Tree Fruit Cider. And it's a jug that you have placed down. And then you've poured me something. What did you pour?
It's our plum basil cider.
New?
New, yeah. We just released it a couple weeks ago in our tasting room.
Does it get any better sitting in the bottle like a wine, or is it just made to be drunk?
You lose some of the fruitier aromas, so in the same way as white wine. If you age a white wine for longer, you lose some of the fruitier aromas. So typically people are wanting to drink cider for the fresh apple and the fruity aromas, so I would be drinking it sooner rather than later. But I'm sure there's some that are designed to be aged, like oak-aged ciders.
How did you get into this?
I worked for the wine research program at the research station in Summerland and did the product development for BC Tree Fruits, working on the cider project.
But why didn't you go into winemaking? Why cider?
Why cider? It was the new up-and-coming thing. Yeah. I did the project at the research station for BC Tree Fruits, so they took me on afterwards for production after the research.
Okay, let's talk about just your age group for a second. Roughly how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, so are your friends discovering ciders?
Yes. Yeah, in the last few years, more and more are drinking ciders because there's more natural apple ciders coming out onto the marketplace that are a bit drier and less of the fruity cocktail type. So, yeah.
Fruity cocktail type. Yeah. All right. Tell me about this. This plum what?
Plum basil. So it's a blend of plum, crabapple, apple, and pear. Yeah.
Why the basil?
We wanted to add a little something to it and played around with some infusions. So
first of all, it will work well with food with basil.
Well, yeah, yeah. We've tried it in a few cocktails and it's been really good.
Well, this is going to be popular.
Yeah.
How big is the portfolio? I mean, how many ciders are you making?
We have three in cans. So we have our apple and hops, which is a dry hopped apple cider, and our peach and pear. And then this is part of our rotating tap. So in our tasting room, we now have eight taps, so we can have all of our kegs on tap, but for growler fills only. So
you're making a lot of cider.
Yes, yes, quite a bit of cider.
You're based in Kelowna?
Yes.
But we can find this anywhere in the province, right?
You can find the apple, peach and pear, and apples and hops anywhere, but the plum basil is only in Kelowna.
Get out.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a cider club?
Oh, and actually it will be at Kraft, apparently, soon.
Okay.
Kraft is getting on tap in Vancouver.
Is there such a thing as a, they have wine clubs, is there a cider club?
They are working on a cider club, so once we have a bit more time to play around with some more blends, we'll be creating a cider club. We need to find a way to bottle these and not just have them in growlers. So
she is Nadine Harrison, and she is the assistant winemaker at BC Tree Fruit Cider Company. Next year, at the third annual, she will be the head winemaker and go on to become owner of the company. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
I knew I would find myself at Left Field Cider because I love them. I've never been there. I want to go there. It's like Disneyland for cider drinkers. And I have found one of the five or six or seven sisters. She is Kate Peterson. How many sisters are there?
There's just me and my sister, Teresa.
Why does it feel like there's more?
Because we're everywhere. There's just the two of us, and we have a big group of friends and family that help us support us with our cider making.
So you're in Logan Lake, although you have your own lake, don't you?
So we are between Merritt and Logan Lake on Highway 97C, just next to a lake called Mammoth Lake.
It's the old Stagecoach Road.
Yeah.
When I first talked to you, like a couple of years ago, I felt a confidence about what you were doing.
We felt like what we were making was good, and we felt that if we focused on good apples, good quality cider making, that people would respond. And we started really small, and it's grown from there.
And you grew up there. You took over from your dad?
So I grew up at Mammoth Lake, my sister and I started the cidery in 2011. Prior to that, there wasn't a cidery there.
Where'd you go to study?
Cidery? I did a Peter Mitchell course in Mount Vernon, Washington, just a week-long hobbyist course, and then I spent almost a year working for a cider maker in the UK and kind of learned the craft there.
Okay, now I remember. All right, so you started with Big Dry and Little Dry?
Yeah.
And now there's Pear Dry, there's Bunkhouse, a dry hop, there's Schoolhouse, a ginger, Joe Shack, which is rhubarb, and Cider Maker's Select Bourbon Barrel. What happened? How did this all of a sudden just go crazy?
Well, our Big Dry and our Little Dry are both full juice cider, so they're just a blend of bittersweet cider apples and regular eating apples. And we started with them, and they're our flagship, so they're the ones available year-round, and our other ones are more seasonal. So we people were asking for something made from pears, so we did some trials, and we're really happy with how the Pear Dry came out. And then, you know, with the craft beer industry, and there's always new stuff coming up, people were always asking us, what's new? So we just started experimenting. Some stuff worked out, some stuff didn't, and it was never made. But the Bunkhouse was our next one, and it was a really great to... It was really interesting to add some hops to a Bunkhouse. Yeah. Because it's gluten-free, it's a great alternative for beer, so people who want the hops but can't have gluten, and it's been very popular. And then we've recently added our ginger-infused and our rhubarb-infused cider, which have went over really well.
And the Cider Maker Select?
We started off pretty early on doing the Cider Maker Select, and that was kind of a label that we were going to do something new every year. We did a still cider under the Cider Maker Select label. Then we did a bourbon barrel fermented, and... The bourbon barrel fermented went over so well that we've just continued to do a bourbon barrel fermented every year.
Do you stop here, Kate, or do you keep going? Do you keep expanding?
We are possibly going to be releasing our Cookhouse cider, which is infused with raspberries later this year. It's still in the trial phases, but it looks like we're going to go ahead with that.
So I know you have apples on your farm. Are you growing much of what you're using?
So we have we have 4 acres. We don't grow everything we use. So we use all the apples we grow. We also have two growers under contract for us, one in Oyama, just south of Vernon, and one in Summerland. And then we also get apples here and there from other growers from BC.
And what are the apples that you're growing?
So we are growing, because of our elevation, we are growing apples that are were bred on the prairies, that are cold hardy apples. So we are growing mainly Harcourt, Parkland, North Battleford, and Kerr, which is a crab apple. And then the people who are growing under contract for us are growing bittersweet cider apples.
This is a great success story. Aren't you happy? I know it's a lot of work.
So far, so good.
I know it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Okay. We're just a small craft cidery, and we're really happy with where we're at.
Do you do tours if people go up there?
We are open from May Long Weekend to Labor Day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We do tastings, and we will take people in the back. We're not... It's mostly just tanks at that point in the year, but we will show people around our bottling line and things like that.
Okay. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Leftfieldcider.com from out of nowhere. the sisters, Teresa and Kate Peterson, Left Field Cider Company at the second annual BC Cider Festival. Pour the Pipe Shop, where my dad worked during the war, North Vancouver, foot of Lonsdale. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Okanagan Crush Pad Winery. Freeform wines are the newest release from Okanagan Crush Pad. Visit the winery to taste. They're open daily from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley, who remind you they're part of the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival happening August 24th through 26th. Two websites you can check out, unsworthvineyards.com and tourismcowichan.com/wine-festival-2018. Making her 82nd appearance on Tasting Room Radio, I have found Miranda Halliday. She has things to tell you. One of them is Elephant Island, which is their winery, was in effect, let me get the story right, was an orchard that you turned into a winery, and now you're a cider company. So did you come full circle?
We came full circle. We, through the process, had our crab apple component of one of our wines at Elephant Island. And cider was always fermenting in the background because, of course, drinking wine all day is not very productive. So drinking cider or something a little bit lighter is a lot more productive in terms of your achievements in one day.
Okay, but you weren't exactly standing around with your hands in your pocket. You guys were very busy with Elephant Island. So what made you go into cider?
The straw that broke the camel's back was we knew there was a place for it. And when Stella Artois launched with a centerfold spread and their claim to fame was 75% of our apples are hand-picked, I said to Del, we need to do something about this cider project or never drink another cider in our lives. So that's when it all came to us.
How much of your fruit is hand-picked?
100%.
And it's local grown?
100%.
Okay, so what are you pouring today? Take us through.
We have our dry apple cider, our dry pear cider, a perry, and we have our apple lavender new release, Cider Maker Select. So we've taken inspiration from Naramata's resident peacock, who is referred to as Zoolander, likes to shake his tail feathers. And so with this line, we get to play around a bit. And we've done some collaboration with other producers. In this case, we've taken some lavender that grows alongside the orchards and co-fermented with lavender.
Are you doing a gin botanical?
We do, and that's done in conjunction with Dell's sister at Legend Distilling. So we take their botanicals and co-ferment with the botanicals.
And it shows itself in what?
So lots of lemongrass notes. You get some sage because a lot of like locally grown botanicals. Really long palate, bright notes. It's really interesting how those simple additions change ciders.
And what's in the hard cider?
Apples.
Just apples?
Just apples. 100% hand-picked and 100% Naramata grown.
Is this a different clientele from your wine?
Totally. It's super fun. Like there's a lot less concern about what you're wearing to these events, maybe if your ball cap's clean. And so a lot of younger people that are into...
Different demographic.
Yeah, into food and wine and local for sure, but it's a little bit less intense, I would say, intense.
Thanks, Miranda. Miranda Halliday, and she is pouring. It's fantastic from the Naramata Cider Company. Dry pear cider, dry apple cider. There's a hard cider here, apple with lavender.
Our lavender.
The lavender. It's a gorgeous bottle. I'm going to take a shot of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
Tasting Room Radio at the second annual BC Cider Festival at the Pipe Shop, foot of Lonsdale, North Vancouver. Right on the left-hand side, Tap and Barrel is right next door. My father used to work here, H.D. Pat Mulligan, and he used to point at this building and say, that's where I work, that's the Pipe Shop. I found the cider maker for the View Winery and Vineyard, Mike Anderson, but we have cider in front of us, so you're doing a double dip. What is it that you actually do?
So we do both wine and cider. We are the View Winery and Ward Cidery. The family's been on the property for five generations in Southeast Kelowna. It was settled in about 1920 by the Ward family. and they started growing old English traditional cider varieties.
Wow.
Yeah, so they've been doing it for a long time.
And did they survive?
They did, yeah. So we still have those original plantings today. Our original cider varieties are all interplanted right directly behind the winery. The winery itself, cidery, is actually in an old heritage apple packing house. So the building was built in about 1923, and it's still standing today. So it's a piece of Kelowna history right there.
I'm glad that those trees survived as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Ward's Hard Cider, Ward's Cherry Apple Cider, Ward's Ginger Apple Cider, Picker's Hut Premium, and Winter Spice. What is the straight-up cider that you make?
The straight-up cider, the original family recipe, is the Ward's Original. That's in the black can here. That's a medium dry cider made from our six English cider varieties. So that's how it all started. We've then developed a few other more sort of modern ciders, blend with some Montmorency cherry juice, as well as our ginger and winter spice. So developed some more seasonal summer ciders as well.
What's new that you're pouring?
New that we're pouring? Actually, we have two new ciders that actually aren't even on this list here. They're actually still tank samples. One is a sangria cider. So we're actually really trying to just celebrate the fact that we're both a winery and a cidery. So it was actually apple juice from our cider apples fermented on pinotage skins. So it's got a real sort of wine rosé color to it and fermented on grape skins.
How long did it take to get that sweet spot?
That one actually, it wasn't too bad. It took about 2 or 3 weeks to finish the ferment, and we finished it nice and dry, and then kind of really highlight the tannin from the grapes as well as the cider apples. So.
And what's the second one you're pouring?
The second one is actually a cider. It's a hop cider. So it's kind of a real nice trend these days, kind of merging a bit with the craft beer market. We've started playing with Citra hops. So that one is available, only a few bottles of that. Get a tank sample. So it's a hopped one, yeah.
It's Ward's Apple Cider. Can we find it on tap down here?
You can find the Picker's Hut on tap around here, and I believe the Ward's is in a few locations. So.
He is Mike Anderson with The View Vineyard and Winery, and he's pouring Ward's from Kelowna. You should try this out. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is Tasting Room Radio with your host, Terry David Mulligan.
Okay, between the time that I wrote my notes and the time I actually got to the Cider Festival, which is only 3-4 days, Raven's Moon has gone from 10 ciders to 13 ciders. And the guy responsible is Quinn Erler, who is the barrel hugger, the owner, and the cellar rat at Raven's Moon Craft Cider. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is Courtney Comox, that whole area, starting to discover cideries and brewers and distillers?
Yeah, so since we have a lot of apples in the area, we're starting to see a lot of development in the brewing world. So with different cideries, different wineries, there's some distilleries there now. There was the second cider in Comox Valley that just opened up, which is Coastal Black Winery, which is called the Second Page Cidery now. We were one of the first in the area, and we have a lineup of 13 different ciders, but the area is very apple-driven, and there's tons of apples.
Well, this is good. What type of apples?
So we, in our classic apple, we have a blend of 32 different varieties of apples.
What?
And
what? That's a field blend.
Sorry?
That's what they call it in the wine business, a field blend.
A field blend, yeah. So we have there are 32 different types of cider apples, and I will challenge anybody, if you can come to me and name all 32 off, I will give you guys a free bottle if you want. And then, so we just planted 200 more trees on our orchard, and there's about 16 different varieties that we just planted.
Well done. Okay, so how big is the portfolio?
We have 13 different ciders. Then we have a big selection of wines as well.
Okay, I'm going to take a shot of the bottle, so name them off for me, left to right.
Sure. So we have a classic apple, we have an Asian pear, we have an apple pear, we have an apple blackberry, an apple raspberry, apple blueberry, an apple cherry, we have a bourbon infused, a dry hop plum, a honey spice cider, a licorice infused one, and now a tea infused one, which is our grand release one.
Has anybody tried a cider with hemp?
Cider with hemp?
Hemp?
I tried a cider with cannabis, not hemp per se. It did have the THC effects of
cannabis. How did it turn out?
Cannabis. It was very good. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like a...
Did it get you through the winter?
It got me through the winter, yes. Yes.
What is your straight-up cider? Which one?
That's our classic apple. So that's the one we started with. Then we released Ragged Ass Road, which is our bourbon-infused one. And then those two are two staples, probably our most popular. We're across Alberta and Northwest Territories with that now. And, of course, BC. So, yeah, lots of good flavors, not from concentrate.
How old are you now, Quinn?
I'm 19.
Are other 19-year-olds that you know, are they even paying attention to cider?
Yeah, I'd say there's a big boom coming up in the craft world. The cider world was definitely poisoned by a lot of sweeter ciders. Now that the craft cider's coming up, lots of unique flavors and lots of creations coming up, I feel like our generation is definitely developing taste buds towards these more intense creations, right?
Cider was shite. Yeah. It was terrible. It was done in jugs. So thank you for turning this around. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right, so what are the new ones that you're pouring today?
We're pouring our classic apple, our Asian pear, an apple pear, an apple blackberry, bourbon infused, a honey spice, licorice infused, and a star cider. A lot of unique flavors.
Thank you very much for this, and congratulations. I'll see you up there. Hopefully, I'll see you there for the Shellfish Festival.
Yeah, we'll be there.
His name is Quinn Erler. He is the owner of the Barrel Hugger and the Cellar Rat at Raven's Moon Cider Craft in Courtney Coma.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
While Brad Clammer, who's the co-owner and the cider maker at Nomad, is pouring from one of his spouts, I'll tell you about Nomad, handcrafted cider. There's you and a guy named Mike, and traditional French ciders leaning towards the Basque region, barrel-aged. One of you went to the UK to study Summerland. Are you in Summerland?
We're both in Summerland, BC, and yeah, you're right on. We do traditional ciders. So we focus on regions. Okay, so we, instead of, you know, flavors or additives or adjuncts, we're focused on regions of the cider world. So our traditional dry is more like a West Country British cider, a true British cider. We use a lot of cider-specific apples, 100% cider apples, in the traditional dry. We do focus on the Spanish region as well. So we're very passionate about the Asturias and Basque regions of northern Spain. We were there in October touring around cider mills and meeting cider makers and then came up with our representation of that region.
What'd you bring to pour?
Today I've got the traditional dry. So like I was mentioning, this is our West Coast British style cider. 100% cider apples. Very tannic, very dry, excellent food pairing cider.
Oh, that's a meal.
Thank you.
That's fantastic. What else is on the table?
So I have the original as well, and this is new format in the cans this year. So we want to see true BC craft cider in a tall can. A lot of people want accessibility. They want to take it to the beach. They want to take it outdoors.
Throw it in a backpack.
Throw it in a backpack, exactly. So we want true craft cider apples.
Plus, if it's going to roll around in the back of your car in the trunk somewhere, you want a can.
Exactly. We're also pouring our sparkling Sidra. So this is a limited release. We did about 1,000 liters of this as a small batch, and it's our representation of the Spanish cider that we were just talking about. So we do a lot of barrel aging. We have got one of the bigger barrel programs for craft cideries in BC. I mean, aging ciders in oak has been done in the UK and Spain and France for, you know, arguably 1,000 years. So we find it very traditional. We like the nuances it imparts on our flavor. We use barrels that have been previously filled with wine, so you get some of those wine tannins and wine characteristics.
Tell me about the first cider that you poured and what it would go with.
Well, I think the traditional dry is a fantastic food pairing cider. So because of the high levels of tannin and still a good acid complex, pork dishes, seafood, anything that you would, you know, use champagne to pair with as well, oysters, things like that.
And the summer sipper?
The summer sipper, the original, that pairs well with anything. It's got a little bit more sweetness, so you can think of spicy foods, Asian foods.
And the dry on the end?
And the Basque style cider, it's like a French food's best friend. I mean, it cuts through fat like it's, once you tasted the acidity on that, foie gras, pork dishes, things with high fat, high salinity.
Okay, finally, why in this direction? Why towards the French and the Basque region?
We're kind of seekers. We like to understand how things have been made, how they were made, you know, way back 100 years ago. So even our fermentation techniques are more in line with Europeans and more in line with wine, really, than beer or the other cidery. So there's lots of flavored cider on the market, and we wanted to kind of just impart something new and fresh, and this is kind of how we like to do that.
He is Brad Clammer. He's one of the co-owners of Nomad Cider, Handcrafted Cider Summerland. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley, who remind you they're part of the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival happening August 24th through 26th. Two websites you can check out, unsworthvineyards.com and tourismcowichan.com/wine-festival-2018. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. I have found at the second annual BC Cider Festival, Salt Spring Wild Cider, Mike Lachelt and Gerda are here, the owners, and he is the director. What did you bring to pour? Because the portfolio is pretty big.
It is a big portfolio. We're really busy at the cidery, and we've bought...
And whose fault is that?
It's her fault, Gerda.
I think it's his fault, so there we go.
We constantly blame each other for just about everything. It's an interesting lineup. We've got three traditional ciders, dry and semi-dry apple ciders, and then a pear cider as well.
And then we have four special blend ciders. One is a bitter orange rosemary and an elderberry elderflower. And a ginger root and a hopped apricot cider. So,
yeah. Okay, here's the deal. Which of those sides of the fence is going to lead the cider flag for the next?
That's a good question.
That's a very good question.
I'd say they both lead in tandem because, you know, there's some really, really exciting flavors, and I think people are getting better and better at making these great flavored ciders. But I think a cidery's got to stand behind its traditional ciders as well.
Where you came from.
That's right.
I think it's going to be rooted in the traditional ciders and then playing with all the other flavored stuff as well.
Let's talk about Salt Spring for just a second because it's a beautiful growing area. If you fly over it, it's arid. And fruit obviously likes it there. Was some lost in growth or are there heritage trees?
Well, that's actually kind of the amazing story about Salt Spring is that it was once the largest producing region of apples in all of BC. And that was in the early 1900s, and it's sort of fallen out of commercial production since then, but it's the trees are still there.
Did you go looking for them?
It's not hard to look for them. They're everywhere. So there's about 450 varieties of apples on Salt Spring.
And how many did you need?
We use at least 70 varieties for our, specifically our traditional ciders.
Is there anything planted there that you can't find anywhere else?
Absolutely. We believe so.
Well, practically speaking, I would say yes. I think, you know, that can't be true. But practically speaking, it seems like it is. Like, you know, we use, in our dry cider, for example, we use a lot of Canada Reignettes. And I've never seen or heard of those coming anywhere.
There is an apple called the Ruckle, which is...
Like Ruckle Park?
Yeah, that's right.
That grows on Ruckle Park that was named by the Ruckle family that we use in our ciders.
That's from seed, right?
They coined it the Ruckle, which is pretty neat.
Gerda and Mike Lachette. Salt Spring Wild Cider. What's your most popular cider?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The dry cider is the most popular in the stores, I would say. And then in the cider house right now, I would say the bitter orange rosemary is extremely popular. It's flying off the shelves. People are really loving it.
How big do you want to get? Do you see an end to...
It's about lifestyle over work. We're not sure. We're playing it by ear right now. And we're going to see what we want for our life and what we want for our work, and we'll kind of take it from there.
This past week, I'd say I've been wishing we were about half as big as we are.
Okay, yes, yeah. I understand. What effect do you think your success has had on Salt Spring as a destination?
Oh, I think a lot of people now know that there's a cidery that they've heard of, and they can come and visit. It gives people something else to do on Salt Spring, and it's the spot that we have is really a beautiful spot. It's bucolic and looks over a gorgeous farm valley, and it gives families something to do as well because people with little kids or dogs can come to the cidery and hang out outside in the sunshine. So,
also, I would say one of the nice consequences of what we've done is that it's sort of reigniting the awareness of the apple history on Salt Spring
and the farming community.
And the farming community. There's also an apple festival every year in October. On Salt Spring, and that's just getting bigger and bigger, and now the cidery is now part of the festival.
Congratulations on your success.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Terry.
Nice to meet you.
Gerda and Mike Lachette, Salt Spring Wild Cider. I'm tasting now.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio.
I wrote down my note for Twisted Hills, and it said Kaylin, a cider maker using very specific apples. She is Kaylin Madeira, and she is the owner and cider maker from Twisted Hills. If I remember correctly, some of the original, if not the original, growers in and around Coston were Portuguese, yes?
That I'm not sure. I was actually born and raised in Oliver.
Really?
So I was born and raised.
Where's your family from?
Orchard. Yes, I was born and raised in Orchard in Oliver. My family is from Portugal, actually. So I'm a half generation. I have to give a shout out to the Swedish side. But I met my lovely other half in 2009. He was already farming. So we actually started planting cider-specific varieties of apples in 2009 and 2010. And by 2012, we were already making small batches of cider with the apples that we were producing on our farm.
And were you watching the market? Could you see the increase in cider?
Not at that point, actually. It's only in the last couple years, I would say. When we opened our tasting room in 2013, more often than not, a lot of people were asking, so tell me, what is craft cider? And you would explain, you know, it's all from the farm, we make it, there's no added water or anything like that. And now people come into our tasting room and they say, oh, you know what, I tried this amazing cider at this event, or they were pouring it at this place, and the craft cider market is now just starting to boom. But when we started, not a lot of people really knew about craft cider.
Kayla Madeira, who is the owner and the cider maker at Twisted Hills, what specific apples are you planting and working with?
So right now, actually, we just purchased another 5 acres, and we've planted some Michelin, some Kingston Black, and Burgundies. It was pretty well already planted, so we had to be pretty selective as to what we could put in the ground. So we planted about an extra half an acre to an acre of trees.
Kayla Madeira, who is the owner and the cider maker at Twisted Hills. First of all, your packaging is different. Your bottles are different. They're very handsome. Tell me what actually you're pouring today.
So today we're pouring 3 of our apple ciders, one being our dry, Pippin's Fate. Kingston's Twist is our semi-dry, and the Calville Blanc is our semi-sweet. Those are all named after the types of apples that we do use in our cider. As well, we have 2 blends, our apple plum and an apple pear.
Is cider being driven by a gender, female, for example?
I think a lot of cider drinkers are female drinkers. Definitely in comparison to England, where cider is the man's drink. But there are a lot of males that are coming over to drink cider, especially since cider is also gluten-free, it's vegan, and that kind of adds an extra to it for the selection of what people can drink.
What kind of alcohol percentage is in it?
So we range from 6.5% to 7.5%.
And organic?
All organic certified.
Way to go, way to go, way to go.
Thank you.
You have a website?
I do. www.twistedhills.ca.
Thank you so much, Kayla.
Thank you very much.
Kayla Madeira, who is the owner and the cider maker at Twisted Hills in downtown Coston. Tasting Room Radio. Second annual BC Cider Festival, the Pipe Shop at the foot of Lonsdale, North Vancouver, where my dad worked. Cedar Cider, Gabriel Jeffries from Hazelmere. First time here?
First time here.
So you're like the rookie in the room?
I am the rookie. Everyone's given me a lot of help here, some pointers, so I feel good.
Tell me what, first of all, how you got started and who your partners are.
So my background, I studied in Italy doing food production, gastronomic science. So I started studying wine production, cheese production, basically everything to do with food besides cooking it. I did cider as part of my course, and I found myself in Somerset, Herefordshire area. And wow, I was like just shocked by what cider could be. So,
did you want to find out what was going on in France and Basque region?
Of course. I mean, that was just kind of my little insight into why cider wasn't this alcopop growers. So after that, I came back here to Canada, and I met up with some friends. We started, you know, having a couple, sharing some ciders over dinner, and they introduced me to more of like the Spanish Sidra. And from there, it really just took off. I mean, my family's have orchards, and I've always been interested in food production, obviously, and so I've just kind of found myself starting a company.
Did they have the right apples?
I do have the right apples. I have Peri Peris, I've got Quince, and I've got 20 varieties of cider apples, bitter sharps, bitter sweets.
What happened when you opened the doors and started?
I was actually shocked at the reception because I didn't think that people could recognize or at least appreciate maybe some more of the funky or unusual ciders.
What did you bring to pour?
I brought a Peri Pear, so three types of Peri. Bourbon Barrel Ferment. It's part of our Bourbon Batch series. It's 4 months fermenting. It's probably could use a little bit more time. I've got a Blackberry Bourbon Barrel Ferment. So blackberries right in the bourbon barrel with the cider, co-ferments. And I've got a Spanish-style Sidra. So more of that dry, funky, bready style. And I've also got a 18-month barrel-age, Jack Daniel barrel-age, and that's with cider apples. So a bit more of that vanilla, you know, diacetyl, if you like to.
Do you have a straight-up cider?
I do.
What's it called?
It's called Sprig.
Do you think you guys fit in?
I think we do. I feel like there's a sense of camaraderie and brother-sisterhood in the cider industry, and I think it's great. I feel very welcome anyway.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
What's your website?
Cedarcider.ca.
Can't miss. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
His name is Gabriel Jeffries.
Yes.
And he is leading the team from Cedar Cider. Now, it says Agassiz, but it also...
Our home base is in Hazelmere. That's where we make. We have about 2,000 trees there. We have more trees in Agassiz. And we have, that's also family land, all orchard. And we have more trees in the Kootenays, which is where my family originally landed in BC.
Oh, you're in the cider business. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Second annual BC Cider Festival, foot of Lonsdale, North Vancouver. We've worked our way to a Howley Moon, Revival, Revolution, Cucumber Mint. I have two names. I've got Kate and Nick.
That's right.
What's the last name?
Durasek.
Nice. Where are you from? Hometown?
We are from Oliver.
Did you plant the orchard, or was it already there?
We ripped out vines and planted
Get
the trees.
That is heresy. That's heresy.
So it's a little bit of rogue farming, we like to call it, so doing the opposite of everyone else up there, but I think it's going to work for us.
Wow, you took out vines to put fruit back in the Okanagan.
That's right.
What did you plant?
We planted 30 different varieties of cider-specific apples, so bringing back those heritage, vintage variety apples that more than been lost.
Do you expect to win an award here?
That would be great.
Especially if this cash goes with it.
That's
now,
right.
How big is the portfolio? What are you pouring?
So we actually have three traditional ciders. We have Revolution, which is our dry, kind of like an English style. Revival is our semi-dry, more of like Pacific Northwest. Rebellion is our semi-sweet, which is a little bit more of a pub or draft style. And then we also do our Maker Series, which is our limited release, small batch flavors of infusions of botanicals and fruit. And we have seven of those.
Let's talk about just a second about the Okanagan, because I'm familiar with that area having lived up there. Are you going to do a terroir-driven? Are you going to talk about where you're growing and what you're growing? Like the wineries are now very site-specific?
I think that's important, and that's why we kind of planted the 30 different varieties. We don't know what's actually going to grow really good in our area. There's not much research or anything to find facts about what will grow in our area, so we're kind of doing that ourselves. We've done a little bit of a demonstration orchard.
Troublemakers in the cider business.
Yes, that's kind of us. Yeah, we're kind of, you know, maybe the cool uncle or cool aunts in the group. Just trying to be a little bit different, you know, like we said, kind of doing the rogue farming and going against the grain.
And what's the star of the show in the portfolio?
Well, Revival is kind of our flagship, the one that we started with. It's kind of pretty dear to my heart, so that's definitely my favorite, but they're all unique. Everyone likes something different.
He is Nick Durasek, and Kate just stepped in. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
You missed the interview.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm just in the nick of time.
Congratulations on your success. Way to go.
Thank you so much.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by NewDistrict.ca. Our friends at NewDistrict.ca have launched a wine club. Monthly six-pack selected by local wine ace DJ Kearney. Delivered right to your door. Go to NewDistrict.ca to sign up for the wine club.
I'm not even going to look at my notes on Seasider. I'm just going to remember all of the bottles that I have taken home and opened, usually on a Friday afternoon. I have found Kirsten Needham, who is the founder and the cider master of Seasider Farm and Cider House in gorgeous Saanichton. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
How important is Vancouver to Seasider's success?
Oh, Vancouver as a market is central. And while we're from Vancouver Island. We've got a 10-acre farm there. I think that what's exciting about being in the Vancouver market is that cider consumers are still discovering cider here. But obviously, as the biggest urban center in British Columbia, it's very important for us to be here in Vancouver.
What do you think is going to put cider sort of over the top, so to speak? Will it be straight up cider, or will it be the cider with the flavors?
I think the question is going to come down to consumer preferences. And I think as much as there's innovation in the cider world, and I encourage it because I think it's exciting to try new production methods.
What did you bring to pour today? Because the portfolio is huge.
First one, the driest one, being Kings and Spies, which is part of our heirloom apple series. So it's all about the apples in that cider. It's one of the first ciders that we started producing about 15 years ago. And we call it our crowdsourced cider because the apples are coming from around Greater Victoria.
Yeah.
There's dozens of people that have contributed apples to this cider.
I'm fascinated by heritage, finding ghost orchards that have been forgotten and resurrecting them. Are we seeing more of that?
I would say that people, that cider makers out there are indeed starting to find, rediscovering our orchard history.
Even if it's a backyard?
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with backyard apples.
No.
Because some of those trees were planted almost a century ago.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we feel very fortunate on the West Coast. Some of the varietals that we can use in our ciders aren't grown anywhere else in the world.
We're talking Sea Cider Farm and Cider House. Kristen Needham is the founder and the cider master. They are in Saanichton. What is the single biggest star right now?
One of the ciders we're best known for is a cider in our barrel series called Rum Runner.
Okay.
And it's a cider that we've aged in rum-soaked bourbon barrels. What we're doing at Sea Cider is trying to experiment with different production techniques, whether it's fermenting in stainless steel, whether it's aging in oak barrels. And Rum Runner is a good example of a barrel-aged cider.
We're talking Sea Cider Farm and Cider House. Kristen Needham is the founder and the cider master there in Saanichton. And Kristen, one final observation. When did you first start making Sea Cider?
15 years ago.
Could you have imagined that we'd be standing in a room like this with 30 to 35 ciders?
It blows my mind. Just, it's amazing. I'm so fortunate to be in this industry.
Well, somebody had to lead the charge.
Oh, I think it was a group effort. And everybody coming together on a day like today and just showing Vancouver what the cider industry is all about, it takes strength in numbers.
Congratulations on your success. I will see you at the cidery, okay?
Thank you.
I'll find you there. Thank you.
Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. Celebrating all the great things we love about food and wine.
He's the pride of Winnipeg, Manitoba, my friends, but he's now one of us. He is a cider maker. His name is Jeff Nairn, and he's making Windfall Cider. Who's your partner?
My partner is my wife, and she's helped every way along this little journey.
You have to do that. You have to have a partner.
Exactly.
You've got to have somebody to help you through it. This is your first time at the Cider Festival?
It is.
What kind of ciders did you want to make?
What kind of ciders? I wanted to make Spanish cider. But then I realized that probably wasn't going to be able to, it wasn't going to be a product that would sell all that readily. We'll still make some really interesting ciders, but those will be sub-brands. Our jackpot, which is the Windfall jackpot that we're offering today, it's a dessert apple-based cider using an ale yeast. It's very approachable, moderate acidity, well-balanced. And that's what the market, I think, needs to have to educate itself. Cider in this province has suffered from overly sweet, and I'm not going to say not very good ciders. Uneducated consumer is our toughest sell. And we're creating seriously dry ciders that pair well with food that are yet approachable.
What did you bring to pour?
We brought Jackpot, our flagship, and we also bought a cider that we call Lost and Found. Lost and Found is very interesting, but it'll be one of our seasonal releases. We'll release it once every year in the fall. It's Northern Spy apples, which are difficult to find. They grow really well in Ontario, but not so well here. We found a producer and a supplier in the Valley who also supplies us with an apple called Cox's Orange Pippin. And then we foraged apples from East Vancouver in and amongst the alleys of East
Come
Vancouver.
On. Maybe there might be one tree in each yard kind of thing?
One tree in each yard adds up to an awful lot in the alleys of East Vancouver, and they're all very interesting apples. The people that settled in East Vancouver over the last 50 to 60 years grew apples that you could cook with that weren't very interesting to eat. They were tough to eat because they were tart, they were bitter, they were overly sweet.
Perfect for you.
Perfect for cider. So that's going to be a program that we move forth. Lost and Found will be a seasonal release that'll get into kegs and cans moving forward. It's going to be an exciting one.
I love the idea of foraging in the East End of Vancouver.
It's fun. It's fun. I believe we could probably collect at least 10 tons of apples in East Vancouver every year and create a delicious cider from that.
Well, you have. It's called Windfall.
It is.
And welcome to the second annual BC Cider Festival.
Thank you very much. My windfall today is bumping into you.
Thank you, man. Say hello to your family.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Hi, Sis.
Jeff Nairn, Windfall Cider. And Natalie Nairn is actually, the only reason that Jeff could do the interview is because Natalie was holding down the fort while she was pouring like crazy. Thank you, Natalie.
Somebody has to do it.
Thank you, Natalie.
Of course. Thanks, Derek.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
The second annual BC Cider Festival. The general public has been allowed in and all hell's breaking loose. Robin Cairns is from Dominion Cider. So I got three guys who started this. Robin, Luke, and Mike.
And Mike, that's right. Yeah, yeah, we're three pals from university going way back. We finally decided to buy a farm back in Summerland and make cider for real with a license.
What are you pouring today?
Five of our ciders here today, all made from apples that we grow ourselves. So we do all the orcharding, all the picking and pressing and bottling of the ciders on site. Today, some of our foundational ciders, we have an all-pear cider. We have a dry hop cider. We also have a ginger-infused cider, and then we have two unreleased ciders that are brand new. One is a first early season press of French bitter sharps and crab apples called Magic Hour, sessionable summer cider. And then we have an experimental cider, which is a seven-month wild fermentation natural conditioning called Truett First Light. Very tasty.
So you're not going to go down the same road as everybody else?
We've always been about experimenting,
yeah, exactly.
And now that we've got a couple of years under our belts, we feel like we're in a better position now to experiment with some new things, particularly on the fermentation side.
Tell me about Kieved.
Yeah, so the French Kieved method is sort of the traditional method in northern France and Normandy and Brittany, where they've been growing apples for cider and making cider for hundreds, if not thousands of years. So in essence, you have a much slower and longer fermentation period by starving the yeast of nutrients. So you end up with a more complex, bodyful, more character in the cider. You also get more residual sugar and sweetness and lower alcohol percentage.
And what's in the future?
In the future, we actually have, as part of our experimental series, we have five other interesting wild ferment ciders coming out in limited releases over the summer and fall.
Yep.
100% single cider apple varietals, and also a crab apple varietal only, a hislop that's very tart and very dry, but quite interesting. So.
Who's drinking your cider? Have you got a fix on that?
I would say cider drinkers in BC cover a lot of demographics.
Okay.
We have folks from younger consumers that are really into craft breweries, into natural wine, into craft distilling. They've become very interested in cider. A lot of gluten-free people also are very interested in cider. We also have several customers that buy at stores and restaurants and that come and visit us at the tasting room that are in their 40s, 50s, and even 60s. That's a lot of the community in Summerland. So.
I was just wondering who was driving it. I mean, is it male, female?
Oh, it's both. Yeah, I think traditionally a lot of people have thought of cider as a, you know, more of a female consumer. And maybe that's been the case in the past, but now it's very even between men and women. A lot of interest from guys drinking cider now, too. So.
Robin Cairns, one of the three friends who got together. Robin, what's Mike's last name?
Mike Harris and Luke Sisa.
Way to go. Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Dominion Cider.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
There was some confusion today here at the BC Cider Festival. It comes from my end because I wrote down Coastal Black. I knew I wanted to talk to Coastal Black because they are in Courtney Comox, which is my home turf. But then I kept hearing about the second page, go and try second page, until I realized that it was the same company. Samantha Chamberlain is a cider maker, and she's going to explain everything. First of all, Coastal Black. Let's explain Coastal Black and Courtney Comox.
Okay, so Coastal Black is a fruit-based winery, also a meadery. It's at a Black Creek in Comox Valley area.
Downtown Black Creek.
Yeah, it's a very small town. And they we've been operating as a fruit winery for about 10 years. I started working there about 2 years ago when I moved to the Valley from Squamish, Vancouver area. So I started doing that about last March. My background's actually as a sommelier. I didn't have any production experience before this. I just sort of walked into it blind.
And how much of that somm training did you have to throw out that it didn't apply to what you were doing?
Very interesting. You know, a lot. I had to learn a lot. Yeah, there's some, and especially because we're dealing with fruit wine and all of my background is in grape wine. Yeah, there's definitely, I think my palate comes through, but there is a lot, maybe with traditional grape wine that I did have to throw out.
Okay. All right, so then we get to second page. And I wrote hopped apple. Is that your big star?
Hard to say a star only because I only released the first cider last October.
Well, it's the world of cider.
Yeah, it is the world of cider. So, but hopped apple has been very popular.
This is your first time here?
This is my first time here.
How do you like the room when it's buzzed like this?
I love it. I love the adrenaline. I love also that the crowd here is very educated. It's a very beautiful professional event. And you can actually talk about what you do and what you're passionate about.
And what
about.
Do they want to know? Do they want to know what's in it, or they just want to take? They want to know what?
Yeah, I think from everywhere, from apple blends. Some people are actual home cider makers. They want to ask you about yeasts and about fermentation. And
oh, great. Oh, great.
But yeah, mostly people want to try. A lot of people have questions about that hopped apple.
Are you going to be part of the BC Shellfish Festival?
I will be, yes.
Samantha Chamberlain, the cider maker at Second Page and with Coastal Black at the foot of Mount Washington in Black Creek, all the way up the coast. You can't miss it. Just stay on the old highway. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Next week on Tasty Room Radio, it's Locals Only 3, Rathdin Cellars, Emmendare Vineyards, Wayward Distillery, Sheringham Distillery, Avro Creek, Zanata Vineyards, Unsworth, Blue Grouse, Kutetash, 40 Knots, Venturi Schulze, and Alderdy Vineyards. That's all next week on Tasty Room Radio. We're working on shows in the Okanagan with Fairview Cellars, Desert Hills, Roche, Fitzpatrick Vineyards, the small winery of the year, and a conversation with Joel Uckhurst at Road 13, the Canadian winery of the year. Township 7 is in there as well. Chef Andre Durbach, Margaret Leonardi, the winemaker at Adora Vineyards in Mendocino, and the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival. Thank you for listening. You can find us at tastingroomradio.com. We're podcast on iTunes and Google Play Music. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by newdistrict.ca. They give you great access and choice with carefully curated wines featuring hard-to-find and worldwide selections with convenient and smooth delivery to your home and office. Find them at newdistrict.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Big thanks to everyone who organized the BC Cider Festival. It's only going to get bigger and brighter and better, just like the ciders. Thank you for listening.